You know, Sean ministered this morning about, you know, how God's already pleased with you. Oh, you know, talk about Hebrews 11:6. You know, talking about you're one with Christ. He's in you. And I know one thing I wanted to mention in addition to what Sean was talking about. I know from my own testimony, I had to see myself the way God saw me. You know, and a lot of times as believers, that's what we struggle with. You know, we may see in the Word what the Word says about us, but we struggle with those heart issues of, do we really see ourselves the way God sees us? You know, and I remember when I was in college, and I thought so low about myself. So low. You know, no matter if someone even giving me a compliment about myself, I couldn't see it. And I remember once as I was leaving my dorm room, I looked into the mirror, you know, fixed my hair or something of the sort before I left. And I was demeaning myself. I was saying, oh, you're so ugly, you know, and just calling myself all sorts of names. And the Holy Spirit spoke back to me. And he said to me, you know, you're beautiful. I said, who, me? It's a good thing my roommate wasn't there because I spoke out loud to the mirror, you know. Who, me? And he said, yes, because I live on the inside of you. You know, and when we truly have that revelation of how God sees us and continually remind ourselves of that revelation, then we can walk in that fruit, in that victory that Christ says is ours. You know, and then our focus is right. Then we know what our purpose is. It's Him. It's Him. Our purpose in life is not what we do for Him, like Sean was saying, or our purpose is Him. Loving Him. Knowing Him. Amen. Allowing Him to flow through us. That's our purpose. He is our purpose. He is our life. But, I want to just focus on, going back to Hebrews 11:6. Maybe this is a continuation of what Sean was saying. I don't know. But I'm not going to teach entirely on that verse. I'm going to teach on something else. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I want to focus on without faith. I want to talk about faith. I want to talk about faith this morning. Colossians chapter 2, let's go there, and let's start from verse 5. It says, for though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did we receive Christ? Were we doing something? By faith. By faith. And the same way we receive Christ, by faith, is the same way we're supposed to continually walk in Him by faith. You know, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, it talks about the just shall live by faith. The just. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, it said, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Who's just here? The Word talks about that we have been justified by His blood. Justified. He said, well, wait a minute. I'm under grace. I'm not supposed to be doing anything. But the Word talks as a natural outworking out of a relationship, how we see ourselves in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. He in us, mm-hmm. Right? That the fullness of the Godhead that dwells within us, bodily, Jesus Christ. When we see ourselves the way He sees us, that we're justified, we're qualified, yes. An outworking of that is we walk in faith. We walk by faith. The just, those of who have been justified by His blood, as a result, we walk in this faith. In Matthew chapter 6, we know in verse 25, let's go there. We know we could, you know, many of us, I'm sure, we're familiar with that passage of Scripture. So this morning, I want to encourage you. Encourage you in the Word. Encourage you to walk out what Christ says is already ours. In Matthew 6, verse 25, and I'm sure if any of you have been in any situation, this is a passage of scripture you run to. Right? Don't worry. It talks about how we are of more value than the birds of the air. That's how what Christ is saying about us. That's how he sees us. And it says here, let's go down. I'm going to read that whole scripture, those verses to you. You know, it's very pretty familiar. It says here in verse 30, I'll go there. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Talking about little faith here. And I'm talking about the topic of faith. And I'm talking about how we all, the just, shall live by faith. That's what's required. Now, God's not over there with a stick. But I believe, you know, like it says in Hebrews 11, it pleases God when we walk by faith. When we believe him. When we say, you know what, Lord, I agree with what you're saying about me. Therefore, as an outworking of how much I believe and how much I trust you, and this is how I'm going to walk according to your word. I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to trust your word. Amen. Lord, I believe that I've been justified. Lord, I believe that I have been accepted by you. But you know what? Anytime we refuse to just believe what our circumstances say, we're not operating in that faith. That faith that God expects his people, his children to live by. Amen. When we choose to believe what we feel more than what the words say, we say, Lord, I see what's in your word, but that's more real. So the just shall live by faith. And it goes on to say here in Matthew, O ye of little faith. Here it is, God is saying, man, children, he said, you have more value than the birds of the air. Now, every time I get tempted to get stressed out or worried, you know, where we live in South Africa, we have a nice little view there out of our living room. And out of our living room window, I can see birds flying to a tree. All the different beautiful birds. We're so blessed. I've never seen a bird worried. No, really. I've never once seen a depressed bird, have you? And he said, we have more value than that, right? So he said, O ye of little faith. And we don't need to be of little faith. You know, the word talks in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, we've all been given that measure of faith, right? But we need to stir it up. We need to appropriate it. Amen. Right? Don't be weak in it. Stir it up. Say, yes, hallelujah. I have more value than those birds out there, and they seem to be doing pretty good. They're well fed. They're happy. Right? So, but what capacity are we appropriating this faith? Appropriating and walking in this faith. God, Jesus says, don't be weak in your faith. Don't be weak. You know, so what is faith? Faith is being fully persuaded. You're enduring. You have full confidence in Christ. That's faith. Being fully persuaded of him, of who he is in you and what he says about you. That's faith. And that's what we're supposed to live by. That's the way we're supposed to live our everyday life. Being fully persuaded of who Christ is and who Christ is in us. Having that confidence that no matter what's coming my way, it's going to be all right. Amen.
Amen.
You know, if we truly want to please God, we have to, you know what? This is my life, God. I'm persuaded of you. I'm convinced of who you are. So a lot of times, that's why, you know, we struggle. If I could be honest with you this morning, you know, we hear about faith, we could sing about faith, but we're not experiencing what the word says because we're not convinced. We're not persuaded, really, of who he is, how he feels about us, that he's mindful of us. Jesus, you know every grain of hair that's on my head. Amen. So that's what faith is. We have to have that persuasion. We have to have that trust. You know, in Romans chapter 4, let's go then. Let's go to verse 17. And it's talking about Abraham here. It says here, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations according to what he was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And it says in verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now in verse 19, it talks about that Abram was not weak in faith. You know, you can be weak in faith when you start considering all your circumstances, considering all your incapabilities, so to speak. Oh God, I can't do this, you know. I can't do what you're telling me to do. Or, you know, Lord, look at my situation. It's totally a disaster, God. But the word talks about Abraham was not weak in faith because he did not consider the deadness of his body. We don't need to consider the deadness of our situation. We need to consider what Christ is saying. And when we start considering what Christ is saying, man, that faith that pleases God, we start appropriating it. We start walking in it. And it pleases God. We can say, oh, there's my child. She believes me. She trusts me. She's agreeing with my word. Amen. So Abraham was not weak in faith. He was fully convinced. Are we fully convinced? Yeah, that's something I ask myself. Am I fully convinced of what you say, Lord? Of what you say about my situation? And this is the way I tell. Okay? If I may give you a little tip, a few tips this morning. We can tell if we're fully convinced of what God says about us. Because if we're truly convinced, we're going to walk this faith life. You know, even though we don't see it with our eyes, we know in our heart. So here's some telltale signs if we're not fully convinced. I give myself a few, you know, I go through this sometimes, you know, especially if you're facing a new situation. If you're fretting, and the word talks in Psalm 37, fret not. Are we panicking? If you're panicking and you're just like, oh God, you know, that's a sign that you're weak in faith. You're not fully convinced. Now, I'm not giving you a formula here. I'm just giving you a few things for you to consider of where you're at. I don't know about you, but I like to constantly check where I am. Where is my heart? Because this faith life is something you continually walk in. It's not like, okay, you know, I believe, you know, I know it. No, you have to continually walk in it and remind yourself of the goodness of God. Remind yourself of how he thinks about you. Remind yourself of what he's done for you while you were yet a sinner. He demonstrated his love for you. Amen. Remind yourself of that love. Sean talked about being established and rooted in his love. Otherwise, it's so easy to get off track. It's so easy to be distracted. Even while you're in Bible school. You know, you could be hearing a bunch of good stuff. But you know what? The cares of this world could pull you away from what God has for you. If you don't keep your mind, if you don't keep yourself considering the goodness of God. And being fully persuaded and convinced of how he thinks about you. If he called you here, he's going to keep you. He's going to provide for you. Amen. But what happens to sometimes? We fret. We start getting anxious. We start getting angry. You know, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21, we have our burst of wrath. We get angry. That's a sign that we're not fully convinced. Something hits us unexpected. We get angry. Or we can get totally depressed, right? Go crawl into the bed, pull the covers over our head, Right? Because there's no hope. That's a sign that we're not totally persuaded of His love for us. We're not totally convinced that He values us. You know, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Is there anxiety in your heart? Because anxiety leads to depression. And all those things are symptoms of where our heart is, of where our confidence is at. A lot of times we don't like to hear that. But I believe we need to be honest with ourselves if we really want to walk in and experience that victory that Christ says we already have. Another thing is, another telltale sign is, what is coming out of your mouth? Isn't it so easy when you're among your fellow classmates to say all the right words? I'm blessed. Man, I'm praise the Lord, you know, and you put on your happy face and you're going through all the motions, you know, but as soon as you get home, you start crying, you know, you're depressed, you're angry, the words that come out of your mouth, I'll never make it, I'm a failure, right? I'll never do anything right, I'll never succeed, I'll always be poor, I'll always be sick. But that's what we do. We know all the right terminologies to say in front of all our Christian friends, or maybe those in our house, but what are we saying to ourselves? What is coming out of your mouth? Tell us. No, you can pretend for only a short, but what you truly believe, the word talks out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks.
Amen.
What's truly in your heart, what you truly believe, what you truly persuade of, will eventually come out.
Amen.
It'll tell on you.
Yes, it will.
It will. It will. What is coming out of your mouth? You know, in James chapter 3 and verse 6, it's talking about the tongue. How that tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And you go down to verse 8, it says, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. But that's where we are a lot of times. That's where we are. So we need to be careful what's coming out of our mouth, but really, what's in our heart? You see, we need to be more, we need to care more about what's in our heart rather than what we think we need to say. You know what I'm saying? Yes, more concerned what's in our heart. Because a lot of times, a lot of Christians I've met, they've been in the church for a long time, and they can say all the right words, they can quote all the right scripture verses, but their hearts are rotten. Okay? We need to be convinced. I'm using bad words, they're rotten. but we need to be convinced in our heart. Because things will come. Persecutions will come. Tribulations will come. To try to get us off course. Try to get us off the word. To try to get us not to be the people God sees us. The way He sees us. And I know Sean, I don't know if he's going to preach on inheritance, but you know, no, we are joint heirs with Christ. And as God's people, He wants us to go out there and reach the world. Bring Amen. People into His kingdom.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
We can't do that if we're just like them.
Come on. Tell it.
If we complain just like they do. Mm-hmm. If we're depressed as much as they are. Mm-hmm. If our homes are falling apart just as theirs, or even worse. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. What are we saying? No, we were always saying something. We're always speaking. Are we speaking words that will bring life to our situation? See, when we speak words, the word, if we're speaking the word of God, it empowers God to do what
Amen.
He says.
Amen.
But if we speak death out of our life, it's never going to work out. We're opening the door wide open to the enemy. So we're always speaking something, but what are we speaking? Are we empowering God? Or are we empowering the enemy? See, you know, the word talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 19. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Are we choosing life by our words, by what we speak? Is there fear? A lot of times we don't want to admit if we have, there's fear. That's a telltale sign when we're convinced we're fearful. We have a heavy heart. We're dismayed. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, it talks, you know, the word came to Joshua. Don't be afraid, Joshua, you know. He had just taken over the position from Moses. Right? Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. What's that? Right? He had big shoes to fill. And he had all these complaining Israelites. Oh, what the residue, whatever. He had experienced that in the wilderness. You know, all those complainers. I'm sure he was scared. I would be scared too. But God gave him the key, right? Meditate on the word day and night. Right? Day and night. But fear. Are we walking in fear? Is there a dread in our heart? The word talks about casting all your cares upon him. He wants us to. The word talks about perfect love cast out fear. And that's a verse we could spit out. But really, you know what? This is how we know we've been perfected in his love, when there's no fear. Amen. We're truly convinced of his love. And that's something in my life I have to constantly remind myself of. Lord, when there's a fear, if I'm anxious, the word talks about be anxious for nothing. If I'm anxious, Lord, I'm not walking in that revelation of your love for me. Am I being rooted and established in your love? That's why we need to remind ourselves, what can separate me from your love? This bill, Lord?
Right?
This ailment, this attack of the enemy on my body? No. Nothing shall separate me from your love. Amen. So fear is another telltale sign of that we're not convinced. So we need to enter his rest. We need to enter his rest. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. I know, you know how we can come short of it, right? Through fear, through anxieties, through what we're speaking, entering that rest. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, and being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall enter my rest. Order the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Jesus is saying the works are finished from the foundation of the world. But a lot of times, we don't enter that rest because there's so much fear and unbelief in our hearts. There's so much fear and anxiety and dread and the things we're saying out of our mouth. But God is saying, enter my rest. And the way we enter that rest is when we truly believed. We're convinced. And that's the way Abraham lived his life. He was convinced. It took 25 years for that promised child to come. And I tell you, he had plenty of opportunity to quit. To say, this isn't working. This isn't true. But the word said, Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him righteousness. He believed God. He was convinced. He was persuaded. I believe every time he looked up at the stars or looked at the sand, man, he encouraged himself. He was persuaded. That's who I am. That's the word that came to him, and he believed it. But so many times the word is coming to us, and we don't believe it. That's why we're frustrated in our Christian walk. That's why we're defeated in our Christian walk, because we're not believing his word. Therefore, we don't have the peace that passes all understanding. Like, you know, there's a song, I have the peace, oh, I have the joy unspeakable. But we don't have it. That's all a result of entering his rest, you know. Yeah. That joy, that peace comes when we have our mind on Him, say, yes, Lord, this is who You say I am. This is what You say about my situation. That's entering God's rest. Now, every time I think about rest, I think about Jesus on that boat. And the disciples are freaking out. You know, that's a picture of the majority of us, you know, we're freaking out, running around, and Jesus is taking a nap. We're supposed to be taking a nap in the midst of what's coming against us, being at rest, being at peace, knowing it's all okay, that this too shall pass. Amen? Amen. So that's how God wants us to be, knowing that, you know, we can rejoice in the Lord always. We can rejoice. So we enter God's rest through believing. You know, Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. I have 10 more minutes. Okay. Mark chapter 11. We know this verse. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So we need to believe and not doubt. And you see, faith is linked to what we're believing. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You know, in Psalm 91, let's go there. It's a very popular psalm. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know that secret place? It's a place of rest in God. It's a place of peace. It's a place of comfort in Him. You know, when we spend time praying and seeking God and dwelling in His presence, that's a secret place. Now, I'm not going to teach on relationship with God, but that's why our relationship with God is a necessity. Let me put in just right here, you know, your time in Bible school, that should not be a substitute for your relationship with God. Sometimes we think we're in the Word for these number of hours, I'm doing good. Well, this is good. But our relationship with God is something we need every day. Saying, Lord, I need You. You're the power source, God. Lord, in Your presence, there's fullness of joy. There's rest. He's the secret place. He's our place of rest. You know, and it talks about, goes on to say here, in Psalm 91, about dwelling. He who dwells in the secret place. That word dwell means to reside, to live. That same word dwell is in the Greek, is translated abide. You know, in John 15, is that whole chapter about abiding. Abiding in Him. Abide in Me, and I in you. Or, apart from Me, you can do nothing. See, when we abide in Him, there's rest. You know, and we need to be firmly planted in Him. You know, in John 15:7, He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That's that abiding, that's our dwelling. We need to know that the source of our help in every situation is Him. We need to rely and trust Him completely. Being fully convinced and persuaded. When we rest in Him, saying, Lord, I will abide in You, God. Lord, apart from You, I'm nothing, God. You are the power source, God. Lord, it's only through You, God, by believing You and being persuaded of You, God, that faith is activated. Because, Lord, I want to walk by faith, God. Believe in You, just like Abraham did, God. Just like the three Hebrew boys did. They were convinced of their God. That's why they were able to say, you know what, we will not bow. Doesn't matter, throw us into the furnace. Amen. We need to ask, I know we live in a country where we have freedom, we can go to church anytime we want to. But there are those out there who, they have to hide. They're persecuted. And we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to react in this situation, God? Are we going to be convinced of Your love, God, and no matter what comes our way, even if they put us to death, Lord, we're going to still serve You? That's being convinced and being persuaded of His love. That no matter what it takes, Lord, I'm going to tell people about Your love. No matter if they throw me in jail, Lord. Amen. I'm going to believe You. I'm going to be persuaded of you. I know, and this is something I've had to live in my life. You know, we've traveled to many countries, and I've had to be persuaded and convinced of God's love for me. Sometimes it's very challenging. It can be, especially when finances are a bit low. We all been there. But you know you've received a word from God. And He's saying, go. And when you're persuaded, I've said to the Lord, Lord, if I have to swim, I'm going to swim and get there. But God, I know you're with me. God, I know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I know, Lord, you're the same God who took care of me in the past, who took care of me last month, and yesterday will take care of me today.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. But that comes as a result of making the Most High God my dwelling place. Making Him my rest, my secret place. You know, that secret place is a place of refuge. A place where we go when we are overwhelmed. Tell you what, life situations could be very overwhelming. Yes. That's why Jesus is saying, abide in me. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Still in Psalm 91. And that same verse, verse 1, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, that word shadow implies shade. A place of protection. When you think shade, you think a big palm tree. And shading you from the hot sun, you know, protection. In this instance, when we get under His shadow, He's our protection from what's out there in the world, what's coming against us. He's our shade. But we have to make a decision. Are we going to stand out in the sun where we're miserable? Or are we going to get into the shade? We have that choice every day. Right? Where we either we go in the sun where we're hot and sweaty and it's unbearable and where we're faint, or we're going to get into the shade and start trusting God and being persuaded of who He is. You know, in Romans 1:17 says, we live from faith to faith. But a lot of times we live from faith to unbelief to faith. We need to live from faith to faith. Continually trusting Him, being persuaded of Him, convinced of Him. You know, in Psalm 27, let's go there. It's a great psalm that sums up what I've been talking about a little. Psalm 27 says in verses 4 through 6, He says, one thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle. He shall hide me, He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore I'll offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I think that's awesome. That sums it up. That's the way we should be living our life as believers. You know, and another passage of scripture I want to go to lastly is in Habakkuk, the last chapter of Habakkuk. You know, and if you go to that book, Habakkuk has gone before the Lord. He's talking about how difficult things are. It's a tough time, a really tough time. Read that. Things are bad. And we all probably can relate when we think things are really bad. But things were really bad here. And that's why Habakkuk in chapter 2 is talking about, but the just shall live by faith. And he sums it up in the last few verses of chapter 3. And this is how we should be as God's people. In verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. It says here in my Bible, a hymn of faith. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:6 or 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. We've been given, no, you may be given a report from the doctor. It's horrible. You're going to die. But our hymn of faith says, though the fig tree may not blossom, amen. We serve a God who says, is there anything too hard for me to do? That's the God we serve. So we need to remind ourselves that the just shall live by faith. This is who I am, God. God, I will be convinced of your love. I will be persuaded of your love. And then we get into his word. And if we're struggling in that area, if there's fear, there's unbelief, this is not something to condemn you by. This is something to say, you know what? I'm going to get into your word, God. God, I'm going to be convinced of who you are in my life. That I'm joined ears with you, God. You live on the inside of me. That your fullness is on the inside of me, God. Your word says, I have the victory, Lord. Be of good cheer. Amen. Amen. Therefore, God, I'll get into your word. And I'll renew my mind according to what your word says about me, God. And I'll walk in agreement with who you say that I am. Amen. 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 God bless you.